Well, good morning. How y'all doing?
Wow, there's a lot of faces out there, some new ones. Who's this? The first time I'm getting to see you this weekend. You haven't been able to get here, but you're here this morning. I thought there's a whole lot of new faces out there. So Sunday morning, I'll tell you where I'm at on Sunday morning. Like, there's a lot of things you could preach. I mean, the list is endless. If you take Bible topics and subjects, you can preach so many things. I travel every weekend. I go somewhere every weekend. There's a mandate that's been on my heart for a bunch of years now. I believe I'm right when I say this. I feel like I'm prepared to preach on a lot of stuff. You could pull out a topic, and I'm probably groomed enough in the Word. I could probably cover it effectively. But yet when I stand up in front of people like this, there's one thing that's always burning in my heart. So I'm going to talk about it, and I'm not bothered by that. I feel like Sunday morning is because the reason we're here is to stay focused, to look around and realize there's other believers in our community. We're an army that God's raising up in a one mind, a one faith, a unity of heart and faith and belief, right? So I don't know if we totally understand that whole one mind, one heart, one faith, one spirit. What that means is we all have different occupations. We have different flavors and appetites in life. We all look different. Yeah, but we can all live for the same reason. We can all have the same motive in our life. We can all wake up to shine. We can all wake up to walk in love. We can all wake up to bring Him glory. And see, when you look at Christianity isn't bringing Jesus into your life and asking Him into your heart. I know we've heard that our whole lives, but it's not scriptural. What scriptural is, you give Him your life. You give Him back what was never yours. It was never your life. It was His life in you. And that's what was lost in the garden. You're not incorporating Jesus into your life in hopes of a better one. He actually becomes your life. You get a new one. That's why it's called born again. It's not freshened up, it's born again. Come on, we get born again and we live as if we never lived before. That's why you get water baptized. You go to die so you can actually live. And in Christianity, you can't live until you die. There's no way to put new wine in an old wineskin. We have to get renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to realize that the way we were thinking was self-centered. It was probably more about me than anything else. It was human wisdom. It was limited. And it always leads to destruction. The way that seems right to a man is what we were trained by. We were trained by a wisdom that doesn't produce life. Gives me a right, gives me ground to stand on, power plays things. Well, he wasn't. Well, he should have never. Well, I wouldn't if they didn't. Well, whose side are you on? Well, how come? Well, I wouldn't be this way if they didn't. Well, they're the one that started it. Come on, we were raised in that. And I've never seen it produce life. And I've never seen anybody living there shine and manifest Jesus. So the Bible tells us we're supposed to die to all that, old things, that means anything before Him. Old things pass what? Behold, how many things? That means all the old things have to pass away if all things become new. So when you're talking about changing our lives and our lives changing, I'm not the same person. I'm not being condemning here. This is Sunday morning. This is to stir the pot. We're gathering together. Ministers are supposed to stir people in love and good works and say, hey, let's not forget what we're celebrating. Let's not forget why He died on the cross, why He put His spirit in us. Let's not forget who we are now that He came. And we have to be very, very careful to keep ourselves stirred in that. Paul said it this way. He must have talked about it all the time because he said, it's not tedious to write the same thing to you over and over and over. He said, for you, it's a safeguard. Hebrews 2 says, take earnest heed of the things you heard, lest they slip away. See, this is a continued walk. This is a continued life. You can't let things creep up on you. You can't afford to just come halfway in. There's no such thing. I'm not being mean this morning. I'm being real. There's no such thing as halfway in. You can't have half of Him and half of you. You have to have all of Him in all of you. But you have to surrender everything you were before Him. A bad attitude can't stay in your life. You live in a bad attitude. You just live in a family of four. You just live in a family of four, and you just get a bad attitude. You just cop a bad attitude. Guess what you do? You put pressure on the other three. You just go, oh, whatever, and you storm to your room, and you don't come out. You just give a silent treatment to your spouse to express your displeasure with no words. It's emotional manipulation. It's control. It's a sign that you're self-centered and you don't know Jesus like we sing. Because he would never, ever, ever do that. But we think it's normal and have no conviction. Wow, that went over real good. Come on, I've never seen that produce life. I've seen it keep self-centeredness alive. I've seen it power play relationships. And then once we said, I love you, and now we don't even want to look at each other. Once we said, I love you, we have three children, now we don't want to be in the same room. Come on, that's not love. Love never fails. Love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no account of the wrong done to it. Why do we do silent treatments? Because we've never grown in love. Because maybe we've never surrendered. Maybe we've never fully committed and jumped all in. Maybe we prayed a prayer to go to heaven. Maybe we hoped he blessed us and gave us a new job and filled our bank account and protected the things we care about. But maybe we never surrendered. Maybe we just want him for our sake. Maybe we haven't thought about living for his sake. I've seen a ton of discouragement in the church. I've seen a bunch of backsliding. I honestly believe backsliding can be taken care of simply if we would just front slide, we would never backslide. The only reason you backslid is because you never slid front. If you cross home, you're not going back to second base. If you front slide and you meet him and you get all in, you ain't backsliding. It's just true. Come on. This is not discouraging. I know it's convicting. It got real strong here, but you can see I'm happy, smiling, and I'm not mad at nobody. See, here's the truth about me. I see this thing. I've lived it for 27 years, and I'm going to have the time of my life, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. That can either make you mad or convict you. But I'm going to leave here and be who I've been for 27 years. My wife doesn't have the power to change that. My kids can't change that. You can't change that. I'm all in. I woke up for one reason today. Mercy woke me up for one reason, to have another day to look more like him. I'm not alive to get my needs met. I'm not alive to have things go the way I hope. I'm alive that in the middle of however they go, I look like him. That if you squeeze me, Jesus comes out. Come on, when you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. It'd be weird if it was apple. You'd have to call a friend and they wouldn't believe you. Why? Because if you squeeze an orange, it's orange juice. And if it was apple, that's weird. So why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian, a little Christ-like one, and everything but Christ comes out? Boy, that should be weird. That's just a sign that we aren't surrendered. We haven't understood. We're not all in. That's all it is. It's nothing heavy. It doesn't mean you're going to hell. See, we've so preached the Bible, heaven, hell, heaven, hell. We've so preached a gospel to serve us. We preach a very self-serving gospel, a gospel that benefits me and maybe never challenges me and changes me. People run to church when their life is struggling. They run to church when their spouse is leaving. They run to church when they got laid off. They run to church when the bills aren't paid. They run to church when they get a foreclosure. And their hope is that God helps them instead of transforms them. We get new life through Jesus Christ. Hebrews says, take earnest heed to the things you heard, lest they drift away. You know, Peter took time to write a whole chapter. He wrote a bunch of chapters. But in 2 Peter 1, he wrote some amazing stuff. He said, we have exceedingly great and precious promises by which through them we partake of his divine nature. And in that we escape. Come out of darkness into light. We escape. Oh, that's cool. See the light? So we come out of darkness in the light. And we escape the corruption that's in the world through self-centered seeking. It's what born again is. It's not praying a prayer to go to heaven. I'm sorry that every preacher on the planet seems fixed on just making it all about going to heaven when you die. You're coming back to the Father. Heaven's coming into you. You're becoming one with the Eternal One. You're denying yourself. You're picking up your cross and you're following Him. That's born again. You're not praying a prayer to go to heaven. You're getting born again. You're denying yourself, picking up your cross and following Jesus. You're not praying a prayer to go to heaven and then singing to Him and praying to Him when you're overwhelmed. That's not Christianity. That's I need you, Lord, not I love you, Lord. Oh, there's a difference between needing Him and loving Him. Jesus never said, pray a prayer to go to heaven. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You know why that's important? I read my Bible and I found in the beginning there was no man made for himself. The only reason man's on the earth is to be found in God's image, and he's empowered to express who God is. God made man and woman. Ladies, this is great news for you. I can show you, I could take time and show you in Scripture, you're not less than man. Oh, I could prove it. From the beginning, your purpose is to stand with Him and manifest God. And the reason you're on the earth is to be found in God's image. You're not here to serve the man. You're here to be one with God, with the man, and manifest Him. And you have the same ability to manifest God's image as the man. You're not another lump of clay. You came out of the man, and the man was the fullness of God revealed. And he had total authority and total dominion. And God said, it ain't good that he be alone. Not because he's lonely. Because he has nowhere to express the glory of who he is. Women, this is amazing. He didn't even bring you on the scene till man was empowered, equipped, and ready to love you like God. Ain't that something? Because if he doesn't make the woman, he has nowhere to go with the glory of who he is. That's why God made man to reveal himself. Now he's making man to reveal God, but where does he go with it? He makes the woman and says, this is good, be fruitful, and all we hear is have children. He's talking multiply the image. Of course it involves children, but each seed after its own kind. Can you imagine the fullness of God coming together with the fullness of God? Not need, want, lust, emotional chaos. What would it look like if somebody complete, fulfilled, not insecure, hooks up with somebody complete and not insecure, and actually lay down who they are to come together to create a stronger one, to manifest the glory of God and bring glory to His name through their life and their relationship, that their whole life reveals His goodness, His love, and His nature. And in that place, they actually conceive children and bring forth children in that revelation. What would that look like? The glory of God. That's the plan of God, till the whole earth is full of His glory. We think that's a cloudy manifestation or something. No, it's people living in the truth of who they were created to be. That's why when Israel was failing terribly, terribly, God said to Moses, Moses, as surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. What's God prophesying? He's saying, I know it doesn't look like it now, but these are my people. And there's coming a day where my people will manifest me and the glory of God will cover the earth because they'll know who they are. We've turned it into going to church instead of being her. And if we're not careful, we're going to get so good at doing church and find out one day we never pursued being her. Peter said, great and precious promises by which through them we partake of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So the whole world is seeking its own. We think the biggest problem on the earth is politics. Sometimes I think we think it's racial conflict. Sometimes we think it's unrest between nations. I don't have all the answers, but I'm sure of this. The biggest problem on the planet is none of those. It's that every day people wake up and live for themselves when they're made for the image of God. And there's a bigger tragedy. People go to church and they're Christians for themselves, and they live for themselves even though they go to church. And they have no conviction about the animosity in their relationships. They have no conviction about their speech if it's not edifying. Because we think that's normal and we're all that way. But he said, come out from among them and be separate. That's not legalism. That's not works. That's not hardcore. It's just truth. You were never created to live there. You were created to be found in him. And what Adam lost through sin in the garden, Jesus paid a price to restore. That's why he said, Jesus said, he's the way back to the Father. Jesus didn't say he's the way to heaven. He's the way back to the Father. And then he said, this is eternal life, that you might know him.
Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you. You don't look happy about that, but that's amazing. That I've been invited into a relationship with God as if I'm not guilty, as if I've never sinned, as if he's always loved me, and as if he hasn't lost hope about who I am and why I'm here. That he brought me back through the blood of Jesus Christ to live what he intended from the beginning, and nothing's lost. Unless I don't believe, unless I don't surrender, unless I just participate, but don't participate. Did you get that? Peter said to add things to your faith in 2 Peter 1, and he says some amazing things in 2 Peter 1. He said, if you add those things to your faith, and he does a little list about character and love. He said, if you do these things, he said, you'll never stumble. You can't preach that in church. That would be called heresy, but Peter wrote it. We're so busy comparing ourselves among ourselves that we think our human experience is the truth. The word of God is the truth. I'm not following human experience. I'm following Jesus. And I'm not kidding you. I travel all over. If you try to preach following Jesus and what that looks like, you're called a heretic, because everybody's saying our reality is reality. Well, brother, you need to keep it real. You need to relate. I mean, people, that's not even relatable. That's hyper-spiritual. That's not even... I'm not following you. I'm supposed to love you, and I do. That's why I'm here. I'm following Jesus. I'm not preaching us. I'm preaching him. He happens to be Lord, and nothing was made that wasn't made through him, and yet he came to his own, and his own knew him not. That's a sad commentary. That truth spoke to men for 3 years, and they killed him for his words. That's sobering. That they were so far removed from truth that even the more he spoke, the more they were sure he was wrong. Wow. I'm telling you, we were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were trained by a lie. The wisdom of the world was our tutor from the time we were born. From the time you and I were born, all of us, we had the same needs. We had the same vacuums. We had no identity. We needed valued, appreciated. We needed comforted. We needed somebody to tell us we matter. And most of us didn't get half of what we needed on that list. And that became who we were. And it angered some of us, it hardened some of our hearts, it broke some of us, it made some of us insecure, it just pressed down our esteem. Because we're all looking for something, but it ain't around us. Nobody has what we're looking for. We're all trying to drink out of dry cups. That's why we're thirsty. And they're your parents, and they're supposed to love you. But if they don't have the capacity to love you, you interpret it as if you're not lovable, rather than they don't know how to love. You get laughed at in grade school, and you're faced with options. You either toughen up, get hard, and become a fighter, or you get broken and get introverted, or you act like you don't care, even though you do. And none of those options are the truth. And now you got life fashioning you and sculpting you and putting pressure and spinning you. And life's not the potter. But yet it's pottered all of us. That's why people always talk about their story. And you don't know what I've been through. And you don't know what happened to me. And you don't know what they did to me. And you don't know what. And we miss what he did for us. That he wants to call us out of darkness into the light. To come out from among them. And be ye separate. To be born again. To where that story you've been living by has no relevancy anymore. Because there's a truth now that made me free. See, when you look at me, you can't tell my dad was an alcoholic. You can't tell that to this day I never heard him say, I love you. You can't tell my mom was sick 40 years and I changed her diapers. You can't tell I was touched inappropriately. You can't see any of that. Because you're not supposed to, because none of that has a thing to do with who I am now that I see him. Are you hearing me? You can't see that my wife was in crisis, identity crisis for 8 years. You can't see that I was a full-time pastor and she was so confused and heart confused. She didn't even go to church with me. And I'm full-time pastor. That's Chantel staying home, not receiving anyone's phone calls, not communicating eye to eye for 8 years. Come on, that's a statistic in the church of separation and a right to move on. We give up on people. Thank God he didn't give up on us. I'm not condemning you if you quit on somebody. I'm saying let's stop quitting on each other. There's hope and redemption for everybody. You could be married for the third time. I'm not one of these preachers to say you're already finished. What I'm saying is whatever's allowing that and causing that, get a grip and you become different. You become a lover. You become a peacemaker. Not just the after effect of what you don't agree with. Don't you be a product of people's weakness. Don't let your highest strength be their weakness. Don't let your vision be what they don't see. I'd never make it through 8 years if I didn't understand and believe what I'm crying out to you with passion. And she sure appreciates it. My wife loves me with all her heart. My wife would lay down her life for me. Why? Because I didn't change my mind about her in an 8-year season of darkness. And I didn't give up on her, and I didn't never stop loving her, because love never fails. It doesn't seek its own, and it takes no account of the wrong done to it. And we're bothered by an expression that doesn't please us. We're bothered by a tone on the end of a sentence. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, what are you saying? Well, see, that's what makes me so mad, because... And we call that normal, come to church and have no conviction that we're not walking in love. Oh, I know that's straight, but I'm talking straight. I'm getting in the truck and leaving unless somebody takes me out before I make it to my truck. But if you take me out, I'm not going to die anyway. You're just helping the matter. I'm just being there quicker. So if you shoot me, shoot me. I still don't think I'm going to die. If you shoot me, I think I'm just going to keep preaching. And you're going to be freaked out and get born again. Because I got too much to do. I can't mess around. I'm not even ready to die. I'm not even close. I don't want to get out of here. I ain't waiting for Jesus to come back. He's in me right now. Yeah? Yeah. Come on, I'm calling you to something this morning. Jesus said eternal life is what? knowing him. Watch this, 1 John 4:7-8. If you love, it's because you know God. You're born of God and you know God. Why? Because God is love. Watch this. If you don't love, it's because you don't know him. Doesn't say you don't go to church. Doesn't say you don't pastor. Doesn't say you don't lead on the worship team. But it does say if you don't love, there's one reason, not one of two. There's one. You don't know him like you could. And the whole goal, 1 Timothy 1:5 of our instruction is love. Our whole goal is not to make heaven. Our whole goal is to get restored back through the cross of Jesus Christ to what he made man for in the first place. Jesus said in Matthew 18, I came to save that which was lost. Not who, that. Something was lost through sin, and Jesus came to get it back. It's called purpose. It's called identity. It's called destiny. It's called life in him. That's why suicide is such a wretched lie. It's taken out so many people. You'd be amazed in this room if I asked you to raise hands and be honest that at some point in your life, maybe not right now, but at some point in your life, suicide passed through your mind and seemed like an option for whatever you were in the middle of. People are struggling at a very young age. Kids are struggling. They say, I just wish I was never born. Yeah? Come on. Suicide is an option for people. You know why it's the biggest lie in tragedy? Because you're tricked into taking something that's not even yours. It was never your life. It was always his life in you. You say, well, it's my life. No, friend, it was never your life. That's why there's so much dysfunction. That's why you feel like you do. That's why it's such a grind. Because you're living life outside of why you're here. And you don't bring God into that without changing that, hoping he empowers that. He will never fill your tank with gas if you're on that road. And empower you to drive where you were never created to drive. If you put metal in a microwave, what happens? Did you ever do that? Did you ever leave a fork on a plate or a aluminum foil? Yeah, I've done it. It's serious, isn't it? Like it, see, you that are laughing know, don't you? Who knows what I'm talking about? It's reactionary. But if you read the manufacturer's handbook, you'll find that the way them components work and them waves and stuff, there's a conflict with aluminum metal, and it's just not made to put in there, and don't you put it in there. Now, kids, don't you go home and try it. Because the manufacturer's handbook explains it, but we don't read that stuff. We just use the product. And we don't on purpose put the fork in there. It's just there, and we didn't see it because we got so much food, pal, brother, we didn't even see the fork. And you hit the start button, and you'll know quick that fork's on there. Whoa, Jesus, right? You don't even pray in tongues. Shakadadaba, you know. You get that? Well, watch this. If you keep putting metal in there, what would you do to the microwave? Why? It's not made for metal. You read the manufacturer's handbook on humanity. The product was never made to live for itself, ever, from the beginning. It was only made to be found in his image. Now, a lot of preachers will tell you that's not even possible. But I encourage you to listen to Jesus, not even me. If Jesus said, follow me, it must be possible. If he's the firstborn among many, it must be possible. He said, if you believe in me, sir, you'll do the things that I do and even greater things. You stick with Jesus. Don't let any preacher talk you out of that. Yeah? We're predestined to be conformed to his image. Who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified by filling us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I'm quoting Romans 8. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For if God didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not give us everything necessary to be like him? Oh, I found this stuff in my Bible. 1 John 2, if any man says he abides in him, he'll walk even as he walked. Beloved, let us love one another. I'm back to 1 John 4:7-8. Don't let it be painful. Let it be insightful. Beloved, let us love one another, because God is love. Everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. He who loveth just doesn't know God. It's not condemnation. It's not even talking about hell. He's saying, if you don't love, there's one reason. You don't know him, but you're created to know him. So you're living outside of what you're created for. So you don't have the capacity to live what you're created for because you're not hooked up to love. Which means I can't have a relationship with him and know him, viably know him, without becoming more like him.
Oh, that's so amazing.
And I just think it's incredible that Jesus said that eternal life is knowing the Father, and we turned eternal life into a prayer we pray to go to heaven when we die. We're so brainwashed by it. We even call it the greatest miracle, that a man can pray a prayer and go to heaven. The greatest miracle is that the nature of God can be restored back into man, and he can die to the old and live to the new as if he never missed the mark. The greatest miracle is that the love of God never fails, and I can stand before God and be seen as righteous as if I've never sinned, and be judged as if the tree never happened. But we have preached a serve me gospel. That's why Christians are discouraged. That's why some people get mad at God. I heard a preacher 2 weeks ago say, everybody gets mad from time to time at God, and almost everybody's disappointed with God at some level in their heart. That is ridiculous. I hope he's not right. Well, I know he's not right because he said everybody. You got that little smiley emoji on your phone that does his teeth like this? That's me right now. Because I know he's wrong because he said everybody. I can't even comprehend being mad at God. He gave me life. My brother just dropped over dead a year and a half ago. He just fell over. He's in my yard. I take a picture of his deer. We butcher his deer. He leaves all happy with his buckets of meat to go get his sausage, and he's a happy hunter. You hunters know what I mean. But he never came out of the butcher shop. And right before he gave his order, he just fell on the floor. His heart just stopped, and he was gone. Am I mad at God? He's my best friend. My brother's my best friend. Do I miss him? Miss him terrible. Do I look mad at God? Life is a gift. God doesn't owe you a thing. He gave you life with a purpose. Get humble, get repentant, and get back to the purpose. I don't know why he let so-and-so die. Why I prayed, I don't know why he, how come I? Why did he send his son and give you eternal life? Why did he pay the price to get you back to him? So in all these things, you can manifest him and bring humility on the earth and truth on the earth. So every man's not living for himself and ticked off and mad and circumstances driving him, and he's only as good as things are going and people are treating him. Come on, that's pretty shallow. Because unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. And at the end of your journey, all you'll have is life spent on you. I don't want that. I don't want you to have that. I'm not going to have that. I'm storing treasures in heaven. They're not going to rust. Moth's not going to get them. You live for yourself. You're all alone. You're actually living at the expense of others when you live for yourself. That's what that attitude, in the family of four, you cop the attitude. Teenagers, listen well. Don't think it's cool. Whatever, and you just storm off to your room. You're putting pressure on the other three. You're forcing them to have to respond to you. It's control deception. It's an empty world. It's a lonely place. What are you winning if they all comply and start serving you? What do you, don't try to be the 17-year-old king of your home. You're supposed to be the manifestation of Jesus. I promise you, love works way better. And blessed are the peacemakers. I never saw a scripture that said, blessed are those who have issues. Cancel your life subscription and get free. Blessed are the peacemakers. Anybody can do this. But who's willing to let go of their rights, deny themselves, and pick up their cross, not to be a pushover and passive, to be like him. And walk in love when love isn't deserved. And walk in love when love isn't earned. And see the value of people when it looks like there's none. And know that everybody can change when it comes right down to it. and never again give up on people, never change your mind about people, never backbite. Just keep on loving. Yeah? Are you guys okay? You look at me funny. You're like... At one point, it was a little freaky. Everybody in the room looked the same. That's very not normal. But I looked across the room, and it was like a movie scene. I went, really? Everybody's like... Like, nobody was even... Everybody's just serious. You all look the same, even though you look different, but you look the same. Go to Colossians 3 with me, if you would, if you have a Bible. You guys, I know you've popped some scripture, but I'm not putting you under pressure. But I'm going to read Colossians 3. If you want to scroll with me, put it up if people don't have a Bible. But if you can't do that or that's too last-minute notice, that's fine. You're not under pressure, even though we're all wondering and waiting. No. No, be at peace. You guys are awesome. But I'm going to be here for a little bit. That's why I made mention. Usually there's no sense. People say, do you have any scriptures? Yes, man, I'm going to have about 50 scriptures. And I don't even know what they are yet. We'll find out when I get up there, but I'll have about 50. So don't even bother trying to keep up with me with a projector. But I think we need to read this, Colossians 3. Since you've been raised with Christ, verse 1, since you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, at the right hand of God. Set your mind, wow. So he just told us to keep our mind up there. Now he's doing another verse, a little redundant, I guess, but no, it must be important because our mind might want to just go other places. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Do you remember in Matthew 6, he says, seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. Not seek ye first your well-being. Not seek ye first the protection of your loved ones. Not seek ye first provision and protection and blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's how the king works. The kingdom of God is the reflection of the king. The kingdom of God is the manifestation of the king. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how he sees you, right, in the sight of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Uh-oh, look at verse 3. See, I can prove this. We didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You died. Well, nobody told me that. I'm telling you that. Don't get tricked into just praying a prayer to go to heaven. The sinner's prayer came on the earth about 80 years ago. It was a nifty idea to lead people to the Lord. I'm not against it. I just think it's limited in the information we're giving. We're making it all about if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. That's not the goal. If you don't give up yourself, you're already living in death. You can't pray a prayer to go to heaven and not deny yourself. It's not even scriptural. It's going to cause all kinds of chaos and church dysfunction and church splits. And now you're serving in church for recognition instead of love and service. And now you're actually hurt because people didn't appreciate you. So this grace place, I mean, they preach all this stuff, but nobody even appreciated what I did. So now you're in another church carrying that. And three churches later, the whole church is a hypocrite and I just don't go anymore. But we prayed that prayer. Come on. He's 14. He kneels. He prays. We take pictures. We talk about it all the time. But he's 32. He's never been back to church. He's drinking. He slept around with 15 different women. And he crashes in a tree driving drunk. But he's going to heaven because he prayed that prayer. And we come up with our own theology. Once saved, always saved. Who's actually saved? Saved from what? You're saved from yourself because you are the biggest enemy on the planet. It's not even the devil, and your war's not flesh and blood. You living for you is the biggest lie you ever lived. You're not on the earth for you. You're on the earth for his glory. Seek ye first. You died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. Come on, it's scripture. This isn't hardcore. It's the truth. You should want, if I wish somebody told me this when I was 15 and 16 and 17 and at least gave me the chance to believe it. I might not have, but I wish I had the chance. No, all they ever told me was, I'm a filthy sinner. It's a wonder God considers me. I'm going to be barely saved by the skin of my teeth. But if I pray this prayer and stay in church. And they left me a hopefully forgiven sinner. Well, that was encouraging motivation to keep going to church. I couldn't wait to get out. So when I was old enough to make my own decisions, I quit going. When I was 18, I told Mom, I'm not going anymore. Now, was that right? No, I was just didn't get nothing. I'm just a forgiven sinner. I'm always going to be this way, but he forgives me. Plead the blood and keep moving. I just wonder what Bible everybody was reading. Nobody ever said that I died to sin and my life is hidden in God in Christ, that I reckon myself dead to sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Nobody ever said that I can walk in the light as he's in the light, and any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked, that love was the goal of our instruction, and unless I became love, I wasn't fulfilling what he paid for. Nobody ever told me any of that. I opened this book and it's everywhere. There's pages and pages of Christian instruction. That, look, I'm just on one open page. Do you see all that purple? Can you see color from there? Do you see all that purple? Do you know what purple is in my Bible? Christian instruction, commandment, Christian living. Do you see that 3/4 of those 2 pages is purple? I did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. I prayed a prayer to become something. And there's a life that I'm called to live. And 3/4 of those pages are Christian instruction. Wow. Nobody ever told me that. They just said, pray this prayer and you're in. Try to live better. Do the best you can. We're all going to mess up. At least your name will be in the book when it all wraps up. What? Boy, they lied to me. They sure didn't inform me. That's why I'm half a madman when I talk about it. And don't even think I'm too worked up. I'm probably way downplaying it. No. I wish God would send one of your loved ones back from heaven and let him preach to us or her to preach to us for like 5 minutes. We'd be so overwhelmed and freaked out, our hearts would be burned right out of our chest. We think this is passion. I am probably backslid in my passion. You bring a person from the presence of God that's walking out a legacy in the earth. And now he goes to God and God says, well done. And he's in there in the glory of God with a testimony of life surrendered. You bring that man back for 5 minutes to preach to us. That would burn our hearts right out of our chest. You know what the Lord asked me a long time ago? I'll throw this out as your barometer. He said, hey, Dan. I was in my bedroom. Hey, Dan. If everybody in the earth that said they were a Christian was living what you're living, would it make a difference or would anybody know? It's easy to say you're a Christian, but Christian is Christ-like. Christianity means little Christ-like ones. It doesn't mean I go to church. Christianity is I've surrendered to Christ. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. The Lord said, Dan, if everybody on the earth that says they're a Christian was living exactly what you're living, would that be cool? Would it affect the world? What a good barometer the Lord gave me. I just thought I'd pass it on to you. That's convicting, isn't it? Woo-hoo. I got to wrap up here soon. Man, I got time. Don't be upset about that. I got a good 11 minutes.
You can handle it. Come on, we've come all this way. We can finish.
Can you tell I'm not mad at anybody? I'm not here to correct you. I didn't drive here to set you straight. I came to cheer you on and stir you up in what it's really all about. Make sure nobody gets lulled to sleep. Make sure we don't get tricked into religion and just go through the motions. Just get to church because we should go to church, you know, because we're Christians. We probably should read our Bible now and then. Isn't that what people do? Come on, Sunday morning can look hilarious.
trying to get the kids rustled up. I thought you were getting the kids. Honey, you said, oh, just never mind. I'll get, oh, but Mom, come on. I don't want to be late. We're always late. And we're strong. We get in the car. We're half arguing. There's tension in the front seat because we're blaming each other for not having the kids ready. And we've run in and we're a little late, but not as bad as the last 3 weeks. So a little victory, not much. Would you take them to the church? Children's church. Yeah. And you get to your seat. Oh, holy, holy. What are we doing? We made it! And then we leave. Well, why do we need to eat there? Well, I don't want to eat there. Oh, we always, when do I get to pick where I want to eat? Well, we always pick there, Dad. I don't want to eat there. Well, just be quiet and be glad we have food. Next week, we do it all again. We might even get radical. Put two hands up. Whoo! Just be a little lighthearted, laughing a little. It's been a pretty intense morning, but we got to have some Holy Ghost anesthesia. And you don't even realize how cut you are. But you're cut. Because this stuff won't go away. Holy Spirit, you don't even realize how set up you are. Just by coming, Holy Spirit loves us so much. He'll bring this stuff to remembrance. He'll convict you and prod you and poke you. Whoever lived outside of what they knew was right and you couldn't get it out of your mind, you ought to be glad. I used to get mad at that. When I wasn't living God for the 13 years after I left church and didn't go back to church, those next 13, 14 years, I fought conviction. I was so mad at conviction. I hated the fact that I couldn't just live the way I wanted and not think about it. It wouldn't go away. Well, it won't go away because love never fails. That's just him going, psst, hey, psst, psst. And I'm like, psst. I'm like, ah, psst. What are you saying? You're more than that. It's a higher truth. Love you. Hey, psst, hey, psst. You see, he got through. He got me. He tackled me. I just yielded. Now, don't be afraid you'll get like me. Just let me be me. You be you. But get all in. Get surrendered. Why would you live for zero? Point, it says anybody that has this hope of everlasting life, really truly has this hope and faith and belief, purifies himself even as he's pure. Now, the church will tell you that's not possible, but the Bible says so. Now, most Christian leaders will tell you that's heresy and don't listen to people that say that. So what they're telling is, don't you read the Bible, let me interpret it. Because see, a man can't preach what he's not living, and if he does, he knows it. So rarely does a man preach about things that he isn't living, and he makes his life truth instead of the word. I was in a church preaching. A man took me to his house. Pastor should keep me in his house because I stay in homes all the time. I asked to stay in homes all the time. This was a little different situation. This is the only, there's nothing wrong with this. This is, oh, I'm in a hotel room because it's a different situation. They have a long commute. We had a lot of services. It makes sense. This is the only place I've stayed in a hotel in I don't know how many years because I always ask to stay in homes. I love staying in homes. I love hanging out with the kids. Like, if I could stay in your home sometime, that would be amazing. I could get to know you guys. We could fist bump and laugh and play a game and have fun. Yeah, I would love it. So I'm standing in this pastor's house. We're driving after the service. He said, hey, just about tonight, like, I mean, it was good and everything. And I'm like, whoa. He said, you just got to be careful, man. When I just want to try to help you with something. Like, when you start preaching that, you got no closets, and you're clean, you don't have any secrets. He said, that's condemning people. Like, everybody has stuff, man. Pastor told me that. So he can't possibly preach what I'm preaching, but because he has stuff, he can't even hear what I'm preaching. So he's defending his life. And now he's got the preacher in the car, and he's saying, because, man, the reality is, dude, everybody has their stuff. You got to be real careful. Preaching this stuff, it just comes off self-righteous. It condemns people. And I said, Pastor, are you kidding me? Do you believe what you're telling me? Well, yes. I said, then that means you have your stuff. But you're supposed to be a leader, an example. You're teaching. You're a person of influence.
And you have your stuff, and you're trying to tell me that the message is wrong to protect your stuff, not get rid of it. So talk to me. What's your stuff? And we had a great breakthrough, great time. God cut him with the double-edged sword, ripped his heart out, circumcised him, stuffed it back in. Put huge staples across his chest. Because he cried, because he was bound. He had pornography in his life. Full-time pastor. Everybody has their issues, brother. We all have drives and urges. It's not like I'm touching women. It's not like I'm sleeping around. Let me tell you the truth about pornography. Let me tell you the truth about any addiction. Anytime somebody has a cycle like that in their life, it's because they don't know the value of who they are. And they're feeding something that's supposed to be dead. Every addictive behavior is attached to low esteem. And you're living up to the low level in which you value yourself. And then when you act on the desire, you prove to yourself that's where you rank. And then you live in a cycle of torment. Because you actually believe that about yourself. And then you act on it. And as a man thinketh, so he is. But if you make a tree, good. The fruit will be good. So it's not, hey, knock it off. It's teach people who they are. You don't just tell a man, well, you need to quit looking at that. No, you need to teach him who he really is and what's really taking place and what he's actually feeding and what needs to die. And you show a man who he is. You be honest with me. How can this pastor legitimately pastor and lead his people when he's trapped like that and believes that and is telling this pastor that I need to change my message and get real? I'm definitely the wrong person to do that to in a car. Because as soon as he started talking, I was already unsheathing. I was pulling it out. Like, I was pulling it out. I turned that thing. Yeah. And we killed him. So he can live. Like, we didn't dump him in an alley somewhere. We raised him up. We killed him so he could live. That man cried so hard, he could hardly breathe. And then he knocked on my bedroom door and came in and sat on the bed and cried even harder. And there I am in my bedroom holding him on the corner of the bed as he sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because freedom was flooding his heart. Yeah. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth, for you died. You didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven, guys. You died. What I preached last night, I said the motive for your Christianity determines what your Christianity looks like. People are Christians for themselves. They're Christians for protection. They're Christians for blessing. They're Christians so when they die, they're in the right place. They're Christians for a lot of reasons, but there's only one reason to be a Christian is to live for his name. Yeah? It's only one reason for being a Christian. Because Christian means little Christ-like one. It's to live for his name and get back to the reason he made us in the first place. So we deny ourselves, pick up our cross. What's pick up your cross, brother? Well, Jesus had to die on the cross, but we're following him, so we have to pick up our cross. So there's times you're done wrong. There's times things aren't fair. There's times people say things they should not say and do things they man, it's a shame they do, right? What you do is you go through life and never let sin against you have the right to produce sin in you, and you keep overcoming evil with good, and you never let what you're going through determine who you are and how you are. You carry your cross and follow Jesus. That's what empowers me to make it 8 years in a situation that as a pastor, I saw people not make 8 weeks. And 8 months is really far-fetched, probably. To go 8 months. You died. Let's remember that. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Uh-oh, watch this. I have this orange because orange is a promise. This is going to happen. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you're going to appear with him in glory. Therefore, because this is true, put to death, not find balance, not find a happy medium, not practice self-control,
put to death your members which are on the earth. You'll notice every flesh list ever mentioned in your Bible. Thessalonians, Corinthians. Every flesh list that's in your Bible, Galatians, sexuality is the very first thing on the list. Why? It's the most exploited, counterfeited, corrupted topic on the planet. There's not even a close second. There's not even a close second to sexuality. Why? Because it's ruled by emotions and sensuality. And because people live by their emotions, it's a trap. And all of a sudden, it's all about feeling. For women, it's different, being wanted, accepted. For men, it's fulfilling desire. And it's just this big mess on the earth called sexual chaos. Watch what he says. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication. I pastored for 27 years. I've done a lot of marriage counseling, and I used to do a ton of weddings. It's a shame. I don't do them anymore. I don't have time. It's a different grace on my life. It's a shame. I do the best wedding on the planet. I'll tell the people when I tell them no, I'll say, I'm really sorry because I do the best wedding ever. And I said, and Holy Spirit will actually come and wrap around you and join you, and you'll know it in the wedding. It'll be so spiritual and powerful, but I can't do it. Fornication is any sexual activity outside of the covenant of marriage. Period. In all the counselings and all the stuff I ever did, I can count on one hand the people that were sexually pure before they got married. And they were all Christians, they said. I can count on one hand. In 27 years of counseling, couples, premarital, and all that, I count on one hand. I could probably cut off two fingers. Put to death. Not control. Put to death. Why? Because it's a motive. He wants the motive to die. The motive is self-centered. That's why men say, you know, honey, it's been like 3 days. And then women feel obligated. And all of a sudden, because they feel obligated, the glory of what it can be gets lost. And I need to, and I should, and I ought to. And then some people would say, well, you know, your body's not your own. And I don't have time to break that one out, but I could smash that one if we took time. My Bible says, put to death this arena as we know it. You know how I got trained? I found a certain magazine on a railroad track on a Sunday afternoon at a loading dock, and I sat on the loading dock, empty building, and read the whole thing. That's where I got started at age 11. And when I got saved, I realized there was something so twisted in me. And I knelt on the floor when nobody was looking and said, you couldn't have made me this way, because it's at the expense of someone else. Please help me. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. It's all idolatry. Idolatry is making something matter more than what matters most. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That's those who never change. They just continue to disobey. Watch. Here's how we don't get proud and look down on them. In which you yourselves all once walked when you lived that way. Let's stay humble and never forget where we were delivered from. And that's always love people. Yeah? But now, you yourselves, look at this. The world says to manage your anger. They got anger management classes. Not being cynical. Yeah, kinda. Let me tell you what anger management is in the church. It's called hypocrisy. So I got issues with Wes and Chantel, and I was expecting this, and they didn't this, and I got some inner issues, but because I'm so mature as a Christian and have so much discipline over my emotions, I got issues with them, but they'll never know it because I manage it. That's called hypocrisy. I'm to put it off, not control it. I'm to put off the right to be angry with them and see them for what they did wrong, because I'm supposed to see them for what they're called to and created for. And unless I actually love them, I don't even have a voice to speak into their life just because they're wrong. I have to have a higher view of them than wrong. You yourselves, it's not an altar call. It's not casting out a spirit. It's a motive. You yourselves put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Come on, don't lie to one another. Well, why? Since you've put off the old man. Look, I don't know anything about no putting off the old man. I just prayed a prayer. The preacher said, if I die tonight and I don't know where I'm going and I had no clue, he said, I could pray this prayer and rest assured that I'm going to the right place. Man, if we would only preach the gospel. Don't lie to one another. Why? Because you've put off the old man and his deeds. And guess what you've done? You've put on the new man. Verse 10. If you have a Bible, look at it. If you don't, I'll quote it. You've put on the new man. Who's he? He's renewed in knowledge according to or in agreement with the very image of the one who created him. Do you see what Christianity is? Jesus paid a price to get us back to the garden and restore us back to the love of God. Not just being loved, being love. See, when Adam sinned, he got separated from God. Who knows that's true? God's the source of love. When Adam sinned, he got cut off from the source of love. And instead of being fulfilled in being love, he became in need of love. And Romans 5 says, every man on the earth since that day was born into that deficit. That's why every one of us was born into needing love. But you're not on the earth to need love. You're on the earth to be love. And we're trying to get what we need this way our whole lives. And the only way to get what we need is this way. And the goal isn't being loved by God. The goal is becoming the love of God. So that we're the manifestation of Him. Whew. Scripture. There's so much scripture that teaches this. And nobody ever taught me this. And I went to church till I was 18. I'm not mad about it. I'm troubled. I'm astounded. How the message got so hidden. To where you preach it and people could almost look at you cockeyed because they've been trained their whole life that it's a certain thing when it's something else. And all of a sudden we just feel good because we go to church. Or we feel good because we feed the poor. The Bible says you can have knowledge of all mysteries, not some, all. You can have faith to move every mountain that ever stood. And if you don't have love, you got nothing. That's scripture. Put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And in that place, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now watch this. Therefore is the elect of God holy and beloved. See who you are? You're elected, you're holy, and you're loved. That's a pretty good identity to put on. Probably ought to believe that and live there. Amen? Watch this. Put on, he's using this language, put on. So he just described the old man that we're putting off, and he broke him down in a whole bunch of adjectives, didn't he? Fornication, passion, evil desire, covetous, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. So he put this whole list, lying, put this whole list to break down the old man we're putting off. And then he said, put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image. So now in verse 12, he's saying, so put on, oh my goodness, he's going to break down the image. Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility, meekness, long suffering. Watch this one. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That doesn't sound like having issues and unresolved conflicts. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. But above all these things, put on love. Because love's the bond of perfection. Do you see what we're on the earth for? We're not on the earth to be blessed. We're on the earth to walk in love. And if you don't have love, you got nothing. And if you don't love, it's because you don't know him. Isn't that something? So he convicts us, but he gives us an answer. So he doesn't condemn us. He's not judging us. He's saving us through truth, if we're willing. And there's only one way you'll ever become love. You'll have to want to. And then God will step in. But I found this to be true in my 27 years of Christianity. There's a whole lot of people that go to church. A whole lot of people that go to church and don't want to become love. They want to hold on to the thing they were never created to be. And they live for themselves. Somehow try to do it in the name of the Lord. And one day they're going to find that they never died to what they were never created to be. Why is it so hard to give up what we were never created for? I'm not going to be one of these preachers and get the music right and say, this thing will cost you everything. No, this thing will cost you what you were never created to be in the first place. And it's a whole lot simpler than we think. Why would I want to hold on to the lie at the cost of the truth when I can have the truth and be free forever? Are you hearing me? I don't even, surprisingly, I'm a guest minister. I don't do this. I don't do this rarely, and some ministers criticize me for it. I don't have altar calls a whole lot. I believe the word convicts. I believe God brings increase. I have people email me all the time, hey, I got saved in your service. I was watching in my bedroom and gave my life to Jesus. Hey, I have all kinds of emails like that. But today I feel like inviting you. Not backslidden, not recommitment, not rededication. I feel like there's at least four people in this room. There's at least four people in this room. You've never been born again. You've never given your life to Jesus and been water baptized with a believer baptism. You guys will see they get baptized, right? See, if I was here, I'd baptize you. I hold you under till every bubble stops. No. I will make sure you're dead. And then I'll bring you up in faith. I wait 40 seconds after the last convulsion, and I got them every time. And then when I bring them up, new life through Jesus. And if they don't, we know where they went. So it's all good. But no, this is serious. This is serious. There's at least four. I'm not sure there's not as many as eight. I usually have a specific number. Sometimes God shows me the gender and everything. I was in a service in California. I knew how many people, and I knew the ages and the sexes of the people. And I kept calling them out one by one until I got everybody. And the last man was 50 years old, and he wouldn't come. And I said, you're a 50-year-old man, and you're not coming, and here's why. You're afraid to step out and fail. You're saying, why would I do that and go through the emotions of doing that, knowing I'm going to mess up? And he went, and he ran to the front. I said, I'm so glad you came. I couldn't point them out because they have to come. But I know there's at least four in here. You've never, ever, ever been born again. You just heard a message that your heart knows is true. Why go back to the same when you're called to shine? He said, you're the light of the world. So let your light so shine. I've never seen a self-centered person shine. I've never seen an angry person shine, an offended person shine, a frustrated person shine. I've never seen anybody with issues shine. But I see Jesus shine, and he's love, and he's surrendered. And he said, follow me, not sing to me. So be bold. Who's coming up here? I know there's people here. You're not born again. I need you up here. I'm not an emotional. I'm not going to try to emotionally. I'm telling you, be bold. You know it's you. Your heart's pumping. Why wouldn't you just come and get saved? You've never, ever, ever been saved. You've never been saved? Okay. No, you're just ready. You're ready to sell out. No, this message, God. No, it's all good. That's all before him. That's all before him. Just stand up for a minute. Come on, I need some people that have never, ever been saved to get up here. There's more that need to be up here. Please come up here. Why would you not come when you know I've been talking to you the whole time? Thank you, dear. Thank you for coming. I'm so proud of you. Yeah? We're going to pray in a minute, okay? Thank you. Come on, I need you to come up here. There's a couple young people. You've never been saved. People might just expect you to be saved because of the family you're in, but you have never in your heart said, my life is yours, and surrendered it and given it to him and been water baptized. I need you up here. Please. Hang on a minute, Chantel. Are you coming? Come on, buddy. Mm. No, it's good. Come here. I've been looking in your eyes all morning.
Oh, beautiful.
And I knew you were listening. Mm. You were really listening. I could see it. Did you see me look at you like 100 times? Yeah? It was on purpose. Because your life matters so much. And I knew you were listening. And it wasn't like I felt like I was talking to you or at you. I just was impressed by the way you were listening. And I must have looked in your eyes, what, 100 times? Go ahead and stand. Are you coming? Give me a hug.
Praise God.
Just go over there and stand. We're going to pray with everybody in a minute. God, come on.
Praise God.
Please come. That young man coming. Must have looked in his eyes 100 times. Right, and he's just sitting there like that. I got 2 or 3 more really young people. You're old enough to make a decision. And you know you have never given your life to Jesus. I'm specifically telling you, I know there's some young folks here. Why not give your life to him now? Why put yourself through all this stuff? Why make all this other stuff? Just give your life to him. It's why you're on the planet. People that believe life is a grind, that life's so difficult, it's because they're living life outside of why they're here. And they're finding no grace and empowerment to live. That's why life is so hard for people, because they're living outside of why they're here. If you'd have knew me in the 8 years my wife was struggling, you'd have had no idea. Because none of that has anything to do with who I am. I do not wake up for my wife to love me. I wake up to be like him. That just makes everything different. Amen? Come on, please. I've got about 3 more people that need to respond. I'm giving you just a couple minutes. I'm not going to beg, plead. You should know who you are. You should just be coming up here. I know when I know. Thank you for coming. Thank you. You giving up? You surrendering? Yeah? Now you feel like you've been born again before, saved, but you're not playing anymore. Yes, sir. That's what you're saying. That's why you're coming up. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. I still got 3. I'm asking the Lord as I'm standing up here. I still got 3 people in the building. You've never, ever been born again. You've never given your life to Jesus. Now would be the time. Please. Is that you? Are you one? Come on, honey. Oh, my goodness. I'm so proud of you. Thank you. Oh. So proud of you. Can I have my 2 more, please? Oh, make me so happy. Because I know you're here. Once I come this far, see, I hear the Lord. I do. I'm not trying to be weird. I know there's 2. That's why I'm being persistent. And God wants you to come, please. I actually feel like you're both young. You're both on the young side. You're under 20. Both of you. Would you come? Give your life to him? Okay. Water baptism is very important. I don't know how we can work this because I'm leaving and we're not ready and you don't have your clothes and stuff, but I would suggest every one of you, it'd be important to get water baptized as soon as you can. And what that is that's a sign of dying. When you go under the water, it's symbolic to the grave of Jesus. You go under to die so you can come up in the likeness of his resurrection and the newness of life. So what happens is when you get water baptized, what you're saying is, everything I've ever done, everything I've ever been done to me, everything about before today is going under and dying. And I'm just calling it dead. And I'm believing if I die in the likeness of his death, even as God raised Jesus by the glory of the Father, even so I shall raise in the newness of life. It's very important. There's not one place in the book of Acts that they preached for people to get right with God and didn't preach water baptism in the message, because it all had to do with becoming new and getting born again. Today, water baptism is so drifted off that some places never talk about it, and at best, it's an annual event. And in the book of Acts, it was the strength of the message. Why? We've been set on trying to get people to heaven, not watch their lives get transformed. Water baptism is a sign of transformation. So I don't know how we want to work that. Are you guys visiting? Is anybody, families, come here? Yeah? Visiting, come here? Oh, good. You're visiting. Yeah? I don't know. Is that mom and dad back there? Okay, just water baptism is important for your boy. Okay? It just is. Where are you all from? Visiting? You're from here? Oh, this is covered. Can you drown these people? When? Next Sunday. So when we're done praying, we'll do it this way just to keep it clean and sweet. Next Sunday, they would love to baptize you and celebrate, because it's right there. We'll have you in the front. Bring your clothes, bring a towel. Nobody will be inconvenienced, and you'll have a week to just prepare your heart and be ready, okay? And in the Bible, they would do it immediately. We'll set up. We're going to be convenient. We're not going to make you drive home wet in the cold. Girls wear loose fit and dark colored stuff for obvious reasons. Guys, just be discreet in how you dress, baggy, loose stuff, just, but you're coming to die to live. You can do that next week and just celebrate, do it through worship or whatever. Bring your stuff next week and come and get baptized and watch. And we're never looking back. We're just gonna keep growing and growing and growing up into Him. So let's do this, let's pray together. Do I have one of my two to come and join me before I pray? Please don't let me make me get sloppy and emotional. You've never been born again? Okay. Are you just saying I am? How old were you when you say you got saved? Okay, you were pretty little. Okay. Come on up here and stand. It's all good. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I want more of Him. I want to surrender, and I'm getting convicted because I'm learning. Man, I haven't known what I know, and I want all this. The two people I'm asking for are still out there. Would you come quick, or am I just going to pray with them all? You've never, ever been saved. It's funny how you have discernment. As soon as you get up, because I actually can see your heart. When I looked in your face, I knew you were saved. Yeah, you're just convicted by the message, and what you're saying is, I want to surrender and I don't want to live me at all. And that's really what you guys are doing. Yeah, not you. I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you guys. Amen. What do you do?
I got to rededicate.
Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Praise God.
Let's pray. Y'all ready? Say this. Say, Father, I come to you believing you love me and you're willing to accept me. Thank you for the cross, for the blood of Jesus Christ. I receive the blood of Jesus Christ as my forgiveness, because I want to be forgiven. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to live the same. I want to live what you created me for. So wash me clean through the blood. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. And I believe I'm ready to follow you. Thank you for loving me and never giving up on me. Thank you for loving me and not being angry with me. Today, I receive your love in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give him a shout.